All right, we have started recording. Cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this with us, Amanda. We're so excited to have you on our podcast.
Yeah, so excited.
No problem. Stoked to be here to chat with you ladies about all good things food and the Ecology Center.
Yeah, we can, we'll quickly kind of explain to you, like, because we haven't really talked about, the Balanced Feminine, we just started it, but it's, we wanted to create a podcast where women feel like they can go and learn about nutrition, but in a less overwhelming way. And so we really align with you guys in the Ecology Center. So we were so excited that you guys were willing to come on. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. And, we're just stoked to chat about, real food and real food close by and how that affects your body and your community and just how interconnected all those things are.
Oh my God, we're so hyped. I'm so excited for this. This is so up our alley. Well, do you want to just kind of explain what the Ecology Center is and what you do and your role there and kind of just introduce yourself too?
Yes, for sure. So my name is Amanda Mahaffey. I work at the Ecology Center. I head up our mentorship efforts, which basically the Ecology Center is a 12-year-old ecological nonprofit and education center. So we started in 2008 on a 1-acre dirt lot that is adjacent to an 141-year-old farm. And we focused for a full decade on bringing people into this homesteading space and rejuvenating this 1 acre into a place to teach folks about the environment and homesteading and permaculture and their water footprint and their relationship to food and essentially just equipping people with the tools for living a more sustainable and ecologically centered life. And then in October of 2018, we had the opportunity to acquire the lease to the entire farm. So a full 28-acre parcel of land in the middle of San Juan Capistrano, where we are currently growing over 200 varieties of fruits, veggies, flowers, and herbs, totally seasonally, all organic, and really on beyond organic on like a regenerative farm scale. Wow. So That is what we do. So we are both like kind of, we're a lot of things. We have obviously a regenerative organic farm, one of the only organic farms left in Orange County. We have a farm stand on the property that's open 7 days a week. We have a huge farm share program, which is our version of a CSA. I could go on and on. We have, we're bringing back workshops and events, and we have a children's program called Farm Raised, and we have a second farm in Encinitas where we just grow food for the school district down there. And my role at the organization, so I am in charge of our full volunteer program, which we, host upwards of 4,000 hours of volunteers every month. So about 100 to 125 volunteers on the land every week. Different in various areas in the organization. I also run and manage our apprenticeship program, which is our 8 full-time paid farm apprentices, because our big vision is to really change a food system in Southern California and create more farmers and farms. I also run our farm tours. I'm just starting to get our calendar ready to bring back our workshops and our documentaries and speaker series for the first time in a year. So I get to head all that fun stuff up. And then because I run around so much and I'm like a people pollinator here, I run our social media because I can just take pictures of it all while I go.
That's awesome.
It's a really long introduction, but no,
we love it. That's amazing. You guys sound like you're so busy. That's incredible what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So I personally am a really big fan of regenerative agriculture, something I'm really passionate about, but I'd love for you to just like share with our audience what that means and what that looks like for you guys, if you could.
Sure. Growing food in general, essentially, what we are aiming to do is to bring local, organic, fresh food to our community. Organic is essentially you know, a word that means that you're no longer putting synthetic fertilizers or chemicals into the land or onto your food. And that was a huge step forward from the conventional agricultural model we've been employing since World War II. Regenerative farming takes that organic model even a step further and really focuses on the health and nutrition of the soil as a means to growing healthy and nutritious food. So, you know, if you ask like children, you know, what does it take to grow a plant? It's, I feel like everyone raises their hand and says, oh, water and sunlight. And that's so true. But for a long time, we almost forgot, you know, like the womb, the thing that the seed is literally growing out of, and that's the soil. Yeah. And because of how we've treated the land through our agricultural practices, we only have 50 to 60 years of arable, farmable soil left in the world. Yeah. So farmers now, especially on a small scale, you know, on a farmers who are interested in small scale farming and not just huge agribusiness, are really putting their attention back into building the soil to being like more full of life. So healthy soil is, you know, full of the right nutrients, full of millions of teeming microorganisms. It has a different, you know, it just has a totally different makeup than soil that's like, kind of like conventionally monoculturally treated. So how we do that and how we practice that is like number one through diversity. So a monoculture is kind of the big business farming style of just having one crop planted, you know, through an entire, you know, 100 acres or 100, you know, 1,000 acres or whatever. So number one, first and foremost, we like to grow a rich variety of things and rotate crops on the land, because each crop or each food, you know, each piece of food, fruit, veggie, herb or flower or whatever, takes certain things from the soil. So when you keep growing the same thing in the same area for a long time, it's hard to get that nutrient back into the land. And then that also brings in the next step of regenerative farming, which is using things like cover cropping and composting to add nutrients back into the land without the use of like chemicals. And then also a big part of regenerative agriculture is agroecology. So how we do it at this farm, we have nearly like 1,200 trees on our land, and they're in between every field, like 25 varieties of fruits, from every stone fruit to apples to citrus to olives and pomegranates. And that's really creating a food forest and a perennial crop that's going to build the soil long term and create habitat for different animals and critters to live in and help diversify kind of the population of the farm. And then also we have another good way to build soil is that we have about 75 chickens that roam around in a mobile chicken coop. And kind of after that cover crop is planted, and they'll eat up any insects or pests around, and they poop into the soil, which is just really rich in the microorganisms we want in a really good soil builder.
Wow.
So those are some examples of like a regenerative, more of a regenerative model of farming.
That's incredible. So do you guys find that, and I've kind of just been learning this through trying to get more familiar with regenerative agriculture, that when you let an ecosystem do what it's meant to do, it kind of just like flows so much better. I don't know if I'm explaining that really well.
Yeah, it's like almost like we thought we were smarter than we actually were by like separating everything, but when it's all together, it just kind of flows the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, like nature kind of just knows what it's meant to do.
Totally. I mean, that's the dream, right? The indigenous people who, you know, who occupied and originally stewarded this land for the 14,000 years, you know, before white people came to North America, they knew this lesson intimately, that there are these natural systems that do things like way better than humans do, because they've evolved for a way longer time than humans have, you know? So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words for it, but essentially like studying nature and using nature systems as a way to grow food is a great way to improve the environment and the quality of the food. I think it takes time to convert land to really be able to do that.
Right.
You know, because the goal is to get an ecosystem back into balance, I guess. is a good way of putting it. And so it takes a little time to kind of recreate that native space. And I think there are a lot of different attributes of that, depending on where you live and what your soil type is like, and, you know, what the land has been doing, and, you know, what kind of animals live around you, or what your conditions are and everything. But yeah, in general, I think that it's really important to like take cues from the land to inform how we design systems as humans. And in agriculture, this is like a great, you know, a great learning ground for that.
Yeah. So can you kind of talk to us about like the environment in California, like what it's like? You guys are farming all year round, right? Or does it change depending on, I mean, I'm from Maine, so I'm used to like, we have like a window for farming. So it's from like May till October, and then everything is frosted over. So what is it like out there farming in the environment?
Oh, yeah, it's a great question. I'm from Ohio, and I moved to Washington before I moved to Southern California. So it's definitely a whole new world, because yes, you can grow food year round in Southern California. You know, the climate is, it's perfect for it. It's beautiful and sunny, but the longer that you're here, the more you'll notice that there is still a really, like a really observable seasonality to Southern California that people might not know who don't live here, that, you know, the rainy season is short and we don't get as much rain as other parts of the country, but it comes, you know? So yeah, we grow year round, but we still grow in like a seasonal way. And it, I mean, it's really like, it's almost so dependent exactly where you are and like what your micro region is in Southern California, because it has such, all of California, such a diverse, different ecosystems.
Yeah.
But you know, for us, it, you know, like the seasons vary. And like right now, for instance, like we're in strawberry season, and that's really like March to June, you know, maybe even July.
Yeah.
Down in Southern California. And then like right after that, right after strawberry season's kind of tapering off, then comes tomatoes, you know, in the heart of the summer, you know, tomatoes and melon and summer squash. Yeah. And then we start planting and thinking about what's going to happen in the fall, you know, so that's a great time to plant your, you know, corn, beans, and squash. And, yeah. So basically you can grow year round, and the seasonality is still very important. It's just a little more subtle than like areas that just have, yeah, 4 months of like, or 6 months of like hardcore winter.
Yeah, totally. You guys are so lucky. You must have access to just like so much fresh produce all the time. I mean, that's one of the biggest things I feel like, I mean, Maddie and I really connect on this, is kind of trying to get people back in touch with, you know, real food, and learning that how important it is to grow your own food and connect with it. And, you know, we're so used to walking into a grocery store and having something like every type of food so available to us. And that's just not how it normally was for so long. And I just think that, I mean, I feel like we've become as human beings very, I don't want to say like, I mean, lazy, but like, we expect to have all these, we don't really put in the work and we don't have the connection to food. So it's really cool to see that you guys are doing that.
Yeah. And even like with, when you mentioned the foods in season, how many of us don't even know which foods belong to which season, because we're so used to just walking to a grocery store and always being there. And it's really beautiful when we can take a step back and realize, okay, I should try and eat in season more and understand which months, which plants are flourishing, because when you choose to eat in season, then really you're going to get the most nutrients out of that food, and you're going to connect to that food in a better way because it was meant to be eaten at that time.
Yeah. And like your body, I mean, I guess it kind of depends, like climate wise, but I know like growing up in Maine, like I do a lot better in the winter when I'm digesting warm, heated food. And I think that's like such a disconnect. People don't really recognize like the importance of eating in season. So yeah.
Oh, totally. And I think, you know, I didn't really think about seasonal eating until I moved here, because in Ohio that would look completely different. And so there's a lot of privilege in Southern California, you know, to talk about seasonal eating in that way. Yeah. Whereas like if I lived in Ohio, I think that might mean you know, like I had to eat venison all winter, right. You know, which is different. But I do think that I think at least starting to become knowledgeable about what's in season, and that, yeah, that the average grocery store item travels 1500 miles to get to your grocery store.
And just thinking about
the impact on the community and the farmers, you know, who grew that food and all of the different things that can happen along the supply chain. Yeah. You know, that different things that maybe touched your food that you hadn't thought about. And, you know, and that's really, you know, it's almost like revillaging is really, you know, kind of the space for eating seasonally is like, okay, well, if strawberries are only here for 4 months, then you have to learn how to make strawberry jam.
Right.
Tomatoes are only here for 6 months, then you have to get good at canning and preserving. You know, it's really like revisiting our, you know, our ancestors' ways.
Absolutely.
Of eating these things year round, you know.
And so you guys, you were saying that you work with schools, like younger kids. I mean, one of my biggest things is like, I feel like it's so important to get kids on board because I mean, they're going to be the next generation and we need to educate them on how to grow their own food. And it's, you know, I think it's just really important to focus on that age group. Do you feel like kids really engage or like, how is it with technology and, you know, the distractions of everyday life now?
Oh, I think any child that comes to a farm is pretty enlivened.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I guess you can't put an umbrella on everything like that, but it is such a source and it's so interesting. You know, it's like a lot of kids eat things they've never seen it grow. Yeah. You know, they've never known what a tomato plant looks like or what a cucumber is like. And I mean, as you walk around a farm, you get to eat. And a lot of people enjoy that, you know.
I love eating. So like, I understand.
Yeah. It's an awesome way to meet the community. Cause it's like, okay, seriously, we're going to walk the farm and then break bread together. You can't go wrong with that. And for kiddos too, especially strawberry season. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's nothing like it.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like about, you know, for children, I think they just have to be open to trying things, which can be harder for some than others, but yeah. For the most part, you get on a farm and there's always space to play and there are chickens and funny songs and, you know, it's a great playground.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, okay, I've been wanting to ask this. I see you guys cooking on the Instagram, like cooking food. Mm-hmm. Is there like a restaurant or something? Because I see the most amazing pizzas being made and I'm like, I need to go there.
Oh my gosh. Well, we hope to open a restaurant. We're breaking ground on a cafe here in about like 3 to 6 months, you know, which is great, but we have a whole culinary department. So we do pizzas 2 days a week because again, it's really that meeting of like, okay, here are fresh ingredients. And it's awesome that we can have a farm stand and a farm share program to get it to people. But right. There's also, you know, a really good opportunity to display your food by cooking it well and sharing that with the community. So, I mean, what's better than pizza? I mean, truly nothing. Maybe a burrito.
Yeah. And that's such a cool, like such an amazing way, like you were saying, to, you know, get people to realize like, okay, like you don't have to, I feel like people have become so afraid of not like food, but there's so many diets out there and people have kind of forgotten like what it means to eat real food. And I feel like that's such an amazing way to get everyone back in touch with like, you can feed your body really nutritious stuff and still feel really great after.
Definitely. Yeah. And like eating good doesn't have to be boring, you know, like having all this nutritious food. And when you have it, like when you buy local and it comes to you fresh, it tastes so much better. You need to do so much less to it to make it just as delicious.
It is really amazing. And like, I mean, the health of the human body, it's like also when you invest in farmers who are like not putting poison onto the land and not putting the poison then into the water that you drink. I mean, like when you're choosing and making, you know, choosing to support the folks who are doing it well, you're really just like empowering your whole community to be more healthy in a lot of different ways, not just through the amazing food you choose, but through all of the externalities that come from a good food system, you know, a healthy food system.
Yeah. And when you choose regenerative, you're helping in a small way to help out with climate change as well.
Oh yeah. I think in hopefully in like a huge way.
Yeah, and that's true.
I feel like
just enjoying food again, like letting it be a gift. But yeah, it does also require that farm to table spirit. Like, how do you actually learn how to use a kohlrabi? Like, maybe that's not where you begin, you know? Right. And so I think that is what's a cool offering here, is that we do, you know, have a lot of farm to table dinners, and we're super stoked to bring them back, you know, now that COVID is, you know, beginning to change. Because getting people around a table and eating delicious food and being on the farm where it was grown is, yeah, definitely quite an experience.
Yeah. A while ago, I read this book about like all the healthiest places in the world. And it talked about like their everything that they had in common. And it was that they ate local, like real food. And then they all ate together at night. And it was like the sense of community. And you just realize that like we've become detached from that as a society, and how much as beings we need that, and like the connection to our food as well. So it's really cool.
Yeah, Amanda. So our podcast is all about helping people to make healthy lifestyle shifts, but in an easy way, that's not overbearing. And so when it comes to choosing foods, maybe if they don't have someone as amazing as you guys in their backyard, what easy ways would you recommend to help implement some of these choices?
I think that's a really common question. I think what we have here is like a unique project. And I mean, before this, you know, I am lucky enough to be for the most part from cities. So in my experience, going to a farmer's market is one of the best ways to like meet the community and celebrate the community and choose real food and meet real farmers. And what's awesome about farmers markets is a lot of them take SNAP or EBT, you know? So that's a really amazing way. Or just, I mean, I personally would really advocate for going to places that are not chains, you know, even if it's like instead of the huge grocery store conglomerate in your neighborhood, you know, finding smaller shops that are still somehow supporting your community, I think goes a long way. And growing your own garden, even if that means a pot of basil in the summer, I'm pretty sure that's the first plant everyone starts with.
Yeah. Basil's hard though.
It's very hard.
So I would kill my basil every time.
I always kill my basil.
Okay. In that case, starting with green onions, because you cannot kill a green onion. And if you add that to pasta with fresh butter and olive oil, you've like just upped your whole night, you know?
Oh, do you know what I actually do? Here's a little handy tip for everyone. When you buy your like organic green onions, like your chives at the store, you can bring them home, chop off what you want from them, and then just put them in a cup of water and set them in the windowsill, and they grow back.
Wow.
It's so cool.
It is so cool. And I do that too. And then I'm like, okay, I have way too many green onions. This is great.
Me too.
Yeah. It's so amazing. I feel like, I mean, food, there's such so many different ways of using it and like storing it. I feel like people, like one of the things for me is just like getting better at like not wasting food. And just like, you know, if I, like you were saying earlier, like canning vegetables and, you know, like for me, a lot of times I'll freeze things and then I can just pull it out at any time I want, and helps the waste aspect of it. So
yeah. One of my favorite things is to put all your veggie scraps, especially like carrots, celery, onions, in the freezer. So any like extra things that you're, when you're cutting up veggies, and then use that to make broth once a week.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys,
You know,
so do you guys must have like a ton of volunteers? Cause we see like on the Instagram, you guys have like a pretty, and you have you run the program.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The community how has the community taken to everything that you guys are doing? I mean, I feel like California is kind of woke in that sense. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I'm just curious, how has it been in the community?
I mean, it's been amazing. We're very well received by people, because I mean, I think what I see is that like a lot of people are desperate for this kind of work and for this kind of connection with nature, because you know, where we live, we're so surrounded by suburbs and cul-de-sacs and concrete, because that's what we created here. You know, that's what humans created here. And we're all desperate to get back to the land because it is in our roots. You know, it's in our roots of humanhood. So folks are so excited about this place. I mean, we have like such an immense amount of support. It's hard to explain if you aren't on the land, you know, but there's just, I mean, thousands and thousands of people visit here every week, either through our farm stand or, you know, our CSA program or, you know, through volunteering. It's exceptional. And it's really just this like special little oasis in the middle of such such suburban land.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing. People are so down for this. And I think everyone just wants it in their communities. And it really empowers people to start growing things in their own backyard. You know, we just opened a nursery this year where we could finally be like, okay, great. Like now take this seed, you know, and like go do this in your own space. It almost feels like this is like a bonfire for the community kind of, and folks are like bringing their own torches like to take back home.
That's so cool. So one of the things that comes to my mind is like, so California is a very, like very privileged, right? Yeah. And I feel like one of the things Maddie and I hear a lot in like the nutrition world is like, well, I can't afford to eat like that. And I'm just curious, like, have you even in like your own daily practice with food, like come up with ways that make it more accessible to eat well, but on like a budget? I mean, like, I think the idea of growing your own food, even if it's like an herb or a plant inside, like that just, I mean, right there helps so much.
I mean, I'm like getting, I like can't even talk about it. It's like accessibility is so difficult in the food system.
It's
ridiculous. It's like such a disgusting thing that not all people can afford healthy, fresh, organic food, but the processed food is so heavily subsidized that it's affordable by all.
Yeah.
And so in reality, like, unfortunately at this moment, no, not everyone can, you know, afford this fresh, organic, healthy food. And, you know, I know a couple, I think that one, a really good way to combat that for your own budget, you know, and like what I did in college or, you know, when I was a bit younger, was always being a part of a CSA in your community. I really do think that like a CSA, you pay an upfront cost, but then you get such a return on your groceries every week. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Also just like freeganism, like at the moment, it's not that easy to do that, but I used to literally like, dumpster dive, but that was like very personal. I started working for a farmer's market in Seattle, and it was like at the end of the day at the farmer's market, they would just give you so many things and like trade with people. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, on a grand scale, like for actual people, I think it's really hard to get through that barrier. And I think that's, you know, the biggest issue we have right now in the food system is accessibility and availability. There's a farm stand in, just about a half hour south of here, a farm called Coastal Roots Farm that does a pay what you can farm stand.
Okay.
Because they're a nonprofit and they're also able to do that. We donate 20% of everything we grow here through our program called Nourishing Neighbors.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, our community basically chooses to donate to that program to help feed their neighbors. And I think that, you know, gaining real accessibility to healthy food is just going to be a slow process. And the best thing we can do is that if we can afford to support local farmers, or we can afford to support programs that help feed our neighbors who might not have as much access, you know, as we do, then it's just really important for us to buy into those programs in our communities.
Yeah.
But, falling on a budget.
Sorry. This is such a real thing. And I've become really passionate about it too. I remember when I was in school and I would learn about like food deserts, but I had never really experienced too much of that. And now my boyfriend lives in Pinedale, Wyoming, this little small town. And when you go to that grocery store, you literally cannot find one single organic veggie. It's crazy to me. Like I just really couldn't comprehend it for the longest time. And it's sad. It's so sad. But I think just those little steps that we can take can make a big difference.
Well, and I think too, it's like systemized, you know, like I recently read that like a lot of folks are like not even calling them food deserts anymore, but rather like food apartheid, because food like deserts are naturally occurring ecosystems, mm-hmm. but that's like not like a food apartheid. It's almost this intentional thing where, you know, low-income communities don't have access to grocery stores.
Right.
Like it's like very intentional and systematic and dark. And I mean, how we combat that, it's like, at the moment, you know, I mean, A, we need to change obviously legislation and policy. So we have to be active citizens in our food communities, you know, and B, like we have to just keep supporting farmers and encouraging them to start farmers markets in neighborhoods that don't have them.
Right.
And we have to ask our cities to invest in community garden spaces, you know, and invest in programs that feed children and like, you know, feed our neighbors. It's unfortunately there's, you know, a lot of things that need to change, but on an individual level, I think it's just important for us to be educating ourselves and doing our best to lend a hand.
Totally. And I mean, what you guys are doing is definitely making a huge difference. So, I mean, just like, I feel like putting a really cool spin on, you know, getting like farming out there and what you can do with food and how important it is to connect to food. And I feel like it's just what you guys are doing is incredible. So
thanks. Yeah.
I'm like so hyped. I can't wait till I can go and visit you guys.
Come. A special project. And it's just cool that so many people do support it and that so many folks really do want this change to happen to our food system. And it's a really cool, special place. And hopefully just like the first of many, 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 many all over the place. Cause I mean, the only organic farm in Orange County, which is really ridiculous. Like 3.1 million people live here.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. So crazy. Yeah.
This makes me want to go start a farm.
Yeah, I know. Maddie and I's like our dream is to like start a farm together.
Do it.
I want a regenerative agriculture farm with like some cows, and I'm gonna be called Farmer Maddie.
it's one day.
I mean, that is the new dream, right? It's like the return dream. Like we all, so many folks are wanting that, and that speaks so much to like what we've become as a society versus what we really are made for.
Totally.
And I mean, just so I don't remember the statistic, but something like, you know, they're like the largest landowners in the country are like 12 people own like such a huge percentage of our country because of agribusiness. And we like have to refuse to, you know, support those companies and like begin to get land back so that we can just have this, you know, this, the world that we all want, which is like much more peaceful and healthy. And the dinner is way better.
I know I worked on this last summer on an organic herb and flower farm, and then they had their own like personal garden, and it was just really cool to like watch their way of life, because they were just so like, they worked obviously so hard. I mean, farming is like not an easy job, but like at the end of the day, like they were filled up, and like so were we, because what we had done, like we felt good about what we had done and like the job that we were doing and giving back to the land and the practices that we were using. And I feel like it's just, it kind of has opened my eyes to like, okay, what really is important in life and what's gonna, you know, feed your soul type of way. So
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I've loved this conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I hope we can visit each other's farms one day.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be the dream.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I'm coming out to see you guys. If you need any volunteers, I will be there.
Yeah, come on by. I'll put you to work for sure. I'm very good at being like, oh, you're 30 minutes done with that. Oh, or you're done with that early.
I'll be like the one eating all the strawberries in the field. No, I'm kidding.
I should. There's the abundance. There's a ton.
Yeah. Is there anything you kind of like, anything else you want to add, or, you know, just kind of,
I guess just that it's like a huge subject, you know, and nutrition and your body and your health, I think it really does relate so deeply to the environment. So when you support, you know, places that support the environment, like you support your body. And we, you know, it's a saying that many people know, but we get to vote every day with our dollar. And when it comes to food, we get to vote at least 3 times a day. So like you can choose the kind of world you want and the kind of food system you want, like simply by choosing a better meal. So yeah, just eat well, my friends.
Yeah. You're very inspiring. I'm like, we got to go change everything, you know, but
no, I know. I feel like that like 24/7.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it takes many hands, you know, and everyone is so into it right now. So I really think that we can do it. I really think it's a system that we can change and it's going to just benefit so many people.
Absolutely. Totally. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. It was so nice meeting you.
No problem. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Before you go, do you want to share like where people can find you on any social media platform?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely follow us at the Ecology Center on Instagram.
Cool.
And I mean, my personal Instagram isn't that interesting. It's like me next to a tree. Like, but yeah, definitely. I think at the Ecology Center, we have a lot of inspiring, beautiful content, if I do say so myself. So
awesome.
Yeah, check it out.
Whoever, do you run the Instagram?
I do. Yeah. Oh
my God, it's incredible.
Well, we have an amazing photographer named Kat Reynolds who comes out like every few weeks, like just to take shots of the farm and really tell the story of it. And she's awesome at it. I love having such access to such beautiful pictures of our work. It's awesome.
Yeah. Really, really pretty.
It's a big game changer having a good photographer.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We're really excited about this episode.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, this is awesome. I hope that I like, you know, kind of answered everything that you guys were.
Oh my God.
Ramble too much.
No, you're like an amazing speaker. And I feel like I love doing these because it's like you just get so much more educated. Yeah. You know? It's a really cool way to learn. So thank you so much for sharing everything now with us.
Oh, I love it. I'm stoked. I can't wait to listen to it. I hope. Yeah.
It's always funny to hear your voice for the first time. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. My voice is very gravelly. I remember like my best friend in third grade, her grandma was like, is your voice always been like that? The voice. I'm like, well, yeah, that's what I got.
Well, thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you.
Yeah, you guys take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye.